Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
From Liver County in the Missouri of Ozark in Mid-America, this is Prophecy Keepers Radio with your host Will Bluewater. Tonight's honored guest is Chief Dr. Sir Clifford Alford, co-medicine chief of the Asaga Sitamarg Medicine Society in Oregon and Mexico. OCO, Dr. Sir Clifford, tell folks about yourself and welcome back.
Well, there's not a whole lot to tell. I'm just a man trying to do a job.
Well, I appreciate you coming back on the show. It's been a while. What have you been up to this last summer?
Well, most of the last summer has been dealing with a little bit of a crisis amongst the Asaga. We had a lady who was going to be installed as the Genomai, the Dragon Mother. And she opted out at the last minute because of some activities by some other people who scared her.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and so we don't have a dual regency at this point as we had planned.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was kind of rough. And the people who did it had no authority to do it, you know, it caused the trouble. And they used some stuff that they'd been entrusted with in preparation for an advancement and position for themselves, and just decided to take off with the stuff and scared the lady about half to death. That was not a good thing. As we dealt with all of that, then, of course, and had the election rolling around and all of the hassle with all of that.
Isn't it just amazing, the Fox News talk about all the confusion and all the strangeness that go on during this period of time, and I thought I had seen it all with, some of the Native organizations that I've been associated with, but nothing surprises me anymore.
Unfortunately, where people are concerned, it's a guarantee that things will change, and not usually the way you expect.
Yeah, that's certainly true, isn't that something? Well, where do you think we stand nowadays? And now, a while back, you said that that after a certain point, you felt that the planet was under certain influences that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, the 8th of November of last year, we had a paradigm shift that had changed things as far as the way we're able to operate in this world and get anything accomplished. And we go through such a major shift like that about every 104,000 years. The past 104,000 years has been more about physical and emotional creations, if you will, and now it's more into a spiritual creation that we have to participate in instead of just being the victim of, if you will. And basically what it amounts to is, for all of time, nothing has ever happened in the physical realm unless it's happened in the spirit realm first. And now, though, if we want to have something manifest in the physical realm, we have to be very much involved in making that creation take place. For example, an individual that, a lady who you have occasionally had problems with, sent me a email today wanting to know if I thought we were just supposed to roll over and accept everything that is supposed to happen, that is happening in Iraq or in this country because of the election or whatever. And my reply to her was, no, we're not to roll over and just accept things. We're not required to surrender anything. Only, on the other hand, there is a difference in the way that we respond. And that's that we can't, forcefully, actively resist the process. Now, this is what has manifested. There are a lot of people that don't like what's going on in Iraq, but the fact is the Iraqi people and the American people created this situation together. That may sound a little strange to some people, but their energies were involved in it, our energies were involved in it. The idea and the time, in fact, that we can say, oh, we're a victim of this, we're a victim of that, it's over, it's gone. We all have had a part in it. We have all made our choices nationally and individually. And so if we want to operate in the new paradigm and do so successfully, then we can acknowledge the things that are going on, but we don't have to be attached to what's happening. What we can do about it is witness it, basically step back and observe it and say, okay, I recognize that this is happening, but instead of giving in to all the fear and all the craziness and stuff that's going on, then work on creating something new. Kind of a good example is when the United States was founded, there were a lot of people who thought that the so-called founding fathers came up with something that was totally and completely new. Well, it wasn't really totally and completely new. It was totally and completely new for Europeans. They got it from the Iroquois League. They copied their form of government almost totally, with the exception of giving women equality. They just couldn't seem to go there.
Well, yeah, a little breaking from the South St. Germain.
Yeah.
As far as the United States, But that was about it.
Yeah. So the way that you make something happen in the world is you recognize what's going on, but then you work to truly create something that's totally and completely new. Are you familiar with how think tanks work?
A little bit. My dad did a lot of research and development work in his career, so I heard a lot of talk about how they work.
Yeah, you know, it's like probably the most important piece of equipment that they have is a lounger. You give them a problem, they go to the boardroom, they get the problem that they're supposed to work on, and they go back and they think. You know, they explore ideas. And when they get some ideas, then they maybe type them in their computer and send them to everybody else in the think tank, and people pass these ideas back and forth, and they meet in their boardroom, and they talk about stuff, and they go back and think some more, and they come up with some new ideas and stuff, and they finally come down with a consensus on how to handle a particular problem. Well, this is the same kind of possibility of thinking with an exception. Instead of saying, okay, I don't like what is going on in this nation and in Iraq or anywhere else in the world. You know, when you do that, then you are resisting the evil that's going on. And when you do that, you feed it energy. That's the problem with the new paradigm. A lot of people think, oh, we have this new paradigm, things are going to be so much better. Well, there are rules, basically, in the spirit realm that we have to operate by. There's no getting around them. You can't arbitrate them. You can't try and bend them in any way. The spirit realm is not a democracy. You know, the rules of the spirit realm are there, period, and you either operate within them or you have problems. So since this is the way things are operating now, then instead of looking at something and resisting it by trying to come up with something new, then the thing to do is for groups of people all over the world to begin exploring a way to create a totally new society, for example. It could be a totally new anything, but a totally new society is like the example that I like to work on. And when we talk about our elders, who many of them do nothing but pray and work for how things are going to be seven generations from now, this is what they're doing. They're not trying to necessarily maintain our tribal ways of this time, because things are going to change. And when life around us changes, then we have to change with it. And so they're looking at how things could be and how we can respond to it. And they talk about it. And they work on it some more, and they talk about it some more, and they work on it some more. And they put a lot of emotion into it. There are a lot of people who think about stuff in a real dispassionate sort of way. They've gotten into this cold logic of the Western world. And that really doesn't do a whole lot for you. You know, if you think about something, about anything, whether it's something in the future or something present, some person you know, you have this instantaneous connection to that thought, whatever it is that you have the attention of your thought of. But if you go and think about it with emotion, any kind of emotion, then your body becomes a generator of energy that just throws stuff out like mad and makes it really strong, and that's how you wind up creating things. A good model of creation, you mentioned Saint Germain. I've run across some of this stuff here and there that mentioned a similar process, and what we do to create things is we see what we want in the world. We put some energy into the spirit realm, into the realm of the Creator, and make that thing manifest in the spirit realm. And when you do that, it's really large, really, really fine. There's very kind of an etheric quality to it. And then you condense it down to where it comes into a physical matter form, and it creates here. And sometimes, you know, there's some people who can do it just about instantaneously. Personally, for me, it takes a while. I might create a new car, per se. But how I create that new car is it doesn't just all of a sudden, poof, pop up in front of me. I create the means to get that new car that I want. And we all do that. It's a way of, it's a manipulation of energy.
Uh-huh.
It's like a person making a candle, for example. They're going to have their wick material, they're going to have their wax and stuff, they're going to have a mold for it. And they put all this stuff together and they create a candle. Well, you can create a candle in any form or shape you want it in. All you have to do is make the mold. And that's what we do in the spirit room. And then it can manifest in the physical room. You understand what I'm saying?
That sure makes sense. I know my wife sometimes talks about how special and what priority mothers' prayers get. And especially when their children are in problems, having problems. So there's a lot of emotion there. And Creator wants us to be, well, from all indication, you know, people that are Christian, they could relate with I think it was Jesus said, you know, I'd rather you be hot or cold. You know, if you're lukewarm, you know, it's no good for him. You know, he can work with you if you're hot about something or if you rejected it. But if you didn't care, it was a tough thing for him to work with.
Yeah. And that's reflected even in other religions. For instance, there's a book called The Science of Agni Yoga, which is from the, I believe, the Hindu tradition. And they have a story in there about how the Lord was walking over the earth and there came some people who just absolutely loved him and were thrilled to see him. They recognized who he was and they honored him and worshipped him and made him welcome in their home and fed him and stuff. And after a while, he taught him some things and went on his way. And as he was leaving, he came to some other people. He was just moving. Excuse me. And he saw, and these other people saw him, and they recognized who he was too. And they cursed him and spit at him and threw things at him, and he went on his way. And these other, the first people were really offended that these people would act that way. And as he was walking on, then he was feeling a little hot and a little thirsty and wanted to get some shade and get something to drink. And he saw some people, and they recognized who he was too. And they could have offered him a place to be out of the sun, and they could have offered him something to drink, but they just really didn't have time. And the day came when all these people had died. And the people who loved him went to heaven. And the people who hated him went to heaven. But the people who treated him indifferently went to hell. And the people who loved him came and said, "We've loved you and served you all of our lives, and these other people have hated you all of their lives. Why are they here?" And he said, "Well, I would rather people either love me or hate me, but indifference is the worst sin of all." Christians also, when it comes to creation, I mean, Christians have no way out. You know, one of the things that Jesus said was that, the things that I do, you know, that you will do even greater. So, when it comes to the creation, the Christians just, you know, they need to get on with it. They don't have a whole lot of hope for avoiding the issue when it comes up when they face their Lord one of these days.
I can't remember who said it. It was an Englishman. I just can't remember his name, but he said that all it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, it's credited to some Englishman, though.
Yeah, well, it was it may be credited to an Englishman, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor of a Lutheran church in Nazi Germany. And it was before World War II had started, and they were only killing their own people at the time. And he was told that he was going to preach that Adolf Hitler was God in the flesh, and that everyone was to worship him.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And so when the next Sunday came around, he got up and ridiculed Adolf Hitler and the Gestapo and the Nazi system just unbelievably. He and his wife and daughters were arrested, and his wife and daughters were abused in front of him, and he said, okay, next Sunday I will preach exactly the truth that you want me to preach. And it was publicized, and there was a section in the church that was cleared and reserved for the SS, and they came marching in and sat down and fused and stuff. And Dr. Bonhoeffer got up and gave this absolutely scathing rebuke of the Nazi system. And when he went out on the porch, where he would normally greet his congregation as they left, he was arrested. And there were lots of reporters that were there to see this. And this American reporter said to him, you know, Dr. Bonhoeffer, why did you do this when you knew that you would be arrested? And that's when he said that line, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's sure the truth, especially in a representative democracy, and that's why we're in the position that we're in today. And the biggest problem is that education. Because I was watching a videotape of Ron Paul, and he says, yeah, we've gotten away from our Constitution, and, you know, it's an educational thing. And it reminded me of Eldridge Cleaver years ago, after being a revolutionary communist, I guess in the 1960s, went to prison, and he discovered at length that, he says, well, we don't have to have a violent revolution. He says the founding fathers set this whole thing up so we can do it a little slower, but, you know, people don't have to die. And yeah. And the Americans are learning that one of the best things they could do is to send their best and brightest to law school and hope they don't become greedy, but they're learning to tear down the master's house using his own tools, which is the legal profession.
Yeah. And certainly it's a, you know, it's an interesting situation we're in right now. this last election was such that she basically had a choice between an idiot who's a fascist and a really intelligent and evil man who is a socialist communist. And so ultimately, you know, we're in a situation where even though we don't resist this evil that's here, then it's still a good thing to educate and inform people. And certainly as they have that education and that information, they can get back to a position where where something new can be created. And if people are at least aware of the things that are going on, then while they're creating something new, they can simply choose not to participate in the stuff that's going on. That's not even a resistance. It's just simply, okay, I see it's there, but I'm just not going to be a part of it. And
kind of where
I've been
for a while.
That's as valid a way to deal with the situation, and even more valid at this point, than taking a gun and trying to take on, you know, an army that's got thousands and thousands of people in it. Hundreds of them.
Well, you certainly know your special forces background, because those are the guys that tear down and build up government.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at some of the material that you sent me a while back when we got our first interview. You sent me some of your CDs and stuff. And one of them had some information by a man named Colonel James Tayakin. It didn't say Colonel James on it, but James Tayakin was my mentor in psychological warfare. And so I was rather tickled to see it.
What about a self-reliance CD?
Say again?
That was on the self-reliance CD.
Yeah, that's it. And so, very interesting little bit of information in there. And, that's the kind of stuff that people really need right now. You can choose not to participate in something, but only if you are truly self-reliant. If you can truly take care of yourself.
Well, see, that's the problem. The system has got most everybody buffaloed because they're dependent on the system.
Yeah.
And it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard to get away. You know, the powers that be tried to break us in 1929, and but this country was too decentralized and had too many small farms and people that knew how to garden, and I mean we're just absolute babes in the woods, the vast majority of us. I mean even people that are still on the farm, instead of growing a lot of things, because people on farms, everybody used to have chickens, everybody used to have a garden. Everybody raised most of their food. But nowadays, farmers don't raise maybe one or two things. Or they'll raise a specialty crop. Or they'll raise beef and raise corn to feed them or whatever. But it's just this disjointed, non-sustainable system. And, so we're right for the chicken here in this country. Whereas people that are in the second, third, fourth, fifth world countries, they're still tough. They know how to survive. That's one of the reasons why I moved to the Ozarks, is because people are still, even though they're still dependent on the grocery stores, they're still tough and wiry, for the most part, Native American mixed blood people, and they still have their traditions, and they still have their land, even though they're poor, because the taxes are so low here. And
I think this area, you know, people have a better chance to survive because there's water here, there's game here, and given the chance, I think they pull together under the right circumstances. I know there's a threat here because of a wastewater management law that was put into effect that would allow 20% of the people in, say, a county to form a wastewater management district. If you can imagine putting sewers into the Ozarks, requiring everybody to have a sewer system, requiring everybody to get a jet to do it. And so you got the people up in arms down here because, yeah, most places, you know, our counties, you know, septic tanks aren't even allowed. People use lagoons. So, people are, and frankly, I don't even know how long, I mean, the law not in under the radar. So, all of it, and it's all part of, the UN, there's a plan in the UN to control and meter. I mean, this, what does wastewater management have to do with metering people's wells? So it's pretty obvious this is a ploy here in this area to, as part of the UN agenda. It's called Agenda 21. So, some people are getting active here politically, and it's interesting to see.
Yeah, one of the things that's, come down with this, kind of hidden in the process of the election stuff that's going on, is remember when 9-1-1 first took place and you know, all the panic about Muslims and people being rounded up in the United States and so on, like the Japanese were at World War II. One of the things that happened just immediately after that is those who were still running around free, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security were going into homes, businesses, schools, whatever, and pulling Muslims out of any age, I mean little kids up through the elderly, and pulling them out and in front of their friends and co-workers and stuff, saying that they wanted them to come in for a voluntary, as they put it, a voluntary interview. When you have a couple of FBI agents and they're up peering over you, and they've got their guns and all this stuff and their badges and whatnot, how voluntary do you feel like it is? And so they would take them someplace, often in the middle of the night or away from the work, and have their interview, which is basically a nice word for interrogation, and then would tell them, okay, you're free to go. Well, you brought me here, take me home, or take me back to my business, or take me where my car is, well, you'll have to find your own way. And this was happening all over the country, happening right here in Las Cruces. And now they're about to start a new round. In fact, have started a new round up in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, for example, and are about to get ready and get into it down here. And they are all over the country, where they're asking things like, are you a Muslim? Well, yeah. Okay, you go to a mosque? Yeah. Well, what mosque? You tell them what mosque. Well, how do you feel about American Middle Eastern policy at this time? Do you have any plans to attack the government at this time? Stuff like that. Who's not going to feel intimidated when they ask stuff like that? Is a Baptist, if they go to a Baptist church and take someone and say, are you a Christian? Do you go to a Baptist church? Does your Baptist church have a problem with the government? Is your Baptist church, or anyone in it planning on attacking the government in any way? Who's not going to feel threatened by
it? Well, obviously the last question, most of them would have said yes.
Yeah.
And the last one, they might have thought, no, I'm thinking about it now, but you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned, now that you're acting like a tyrant, you know, it's exactly very encouraging.
Yeah, you know, if we allow it to happen to the Muslims,
that's right. Yes,
one of these days they'll get around to us again. You know, they've done this to Native Americans forever.
Oh yeah.
They'll get around to us again. They'll get around to any brand of Christian that's not like whoever is on the throne in the Oval Office at this time.
Wow.
You know, and anything else they want to do, they'll get after the Wiccans. You know, the Wiccans are still scared to death that someone's going to try and burn them like they did during the Salem witch trial. And no doubt this president's making them feel a little bit insecure. So, what people need to do, though, is they need to simply understand their rights. The way that you don't have to participate in this, I am an American citizen, or I am a person here with legal immigration status, or whatever, therefore I have rights. And I have the right to say nothing. And when it comes to the FBI, I mean, these guys, most of them are attorneys, the rest of them are usually accountants, but they're all trained interrogators. And attorneys, when they're in law school, are trained to be very persuasive and get information from people and make you feel bad if you don't give them that information.
Yeah.
So if you are being interrogated by an FBI agent, then sometimes what they'll do is they'll get people where they feel like if they can just give some little thing, kind of like off the record, you know?
Yeah.
Then it'll be okay and they'll let him go. But there is nothing off the record in a police investigation.
Huh.
Off the record does not exist.
Well, people come...
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
And if you lie, it's a federal felony.
So well, sure. Well, it's a felony if you lie to a police officer here in Las Cruces.
I thought that was just for feds. I mean, it's legal, legal for them to lie to you.
It's legal for them to lie to you, but it's not legal for you to lie to them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How do we get that? How does that happen?
Some people were not watching. They were complacent and unaware. And awareness is the first key to survival in anything.
Vigilance.
Yeah, so you be aware of your rights, and you have the right to an attorney, and you have the right to not say anything if you don't want to. And so you can just ask them, just like, well, okay, I'm, am I under arrest or am I free to go? Oh, I'm free to go? Great, this conversation's over, I'm out of here. I'm under arrest? Fine. Arrest me, do whatever you're going to do, but I have nothing to say until I have an attorney here to advise me, who's my attorney.
Well, even with an attorney, a mutual friend of ours, Colonel Bogart, said that 80% of the people that are in prison are there because they talked.
Right.
And even with an attorney.
You have to understand something about attorneys, too. An attorney can advise you, but you need to be aware of what an attorney is. An attorney is an officer of the court.
That's right.
And so you pay them to represent the court to you. They're not representing you to the court. They're representing the court to you.
Even if he's your defense attorney.
Yeah, this is your defense attorney. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you can afford, I mean, a public defender. you might as well go pro se, you know, and defend yourself naked. You know, at least you get a sympathetic judge, he'll help you out a little bit. But if you have a public defender, I mean, that's a joke. But can you imagine what it was like in this country when, well, did you see that movie, Gideon's Trumpet, with Henry Fonda? Can you imagine what it was like in this country when you didn't get a lawyer unless you could afford one?
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals, and you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken tasting garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm dying right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
I mean, can you imagine how many innocent people we had in jail just because cops didn't like them?
Well, there are a lot of places that actually have public defender systems where if someone can't afford an attorney from the bar, you know, a regular defense lawyer who normally is paid by somebody, is appointed by the court and paid something to represent you, and it's in their best interest to help you get off because it's on their scorecard.
Yeah, well, I also was reading last year something about that the way that public defenders were paid was being attacked because governments were using, I believe it was the interest off of some kind of taxes or something like that or maybe it was the interest off of withheld tax withholder, something like that. I can't remember what it was, but this system that they were using, you know, the states would bank some money, and of course it's millions of dollars, and they use the interest off of it to fund, hiring defense lawyers. But I understand that was under attack as being unconstitutional, and so that's kind of interesting. There's things that go on in state governments that people have absolutely no idea how things work until you get up there and then you become part of it and it's all institutionalized and nobody really questions it until somebody does. It's just like I knew somebody that went to prison and his family was just treated awfully. While the family was on welfare, send the guy to prison for 4 years and all of a sudden, the family's not allowed to have the welfare they had when he was home. And I said, well, what's all that about? And I said, isn't that the corruption of blood that the Constitution says is not lawful? He says, sure. And I said, well, why does it go on? He says, because it's never been challenged. When I was in sixth grade in 1966, 67, something like that, state of California stopped requiring that sixth graders pass a U.S. Constitution test. So, it's been more than a generation since, 35 years or so, something like that, since anybody in California,
you know, wasn't required to learn anything about the Constitution. So no wonder they're so easily taken in by totalitarians that are mislabeling themselves communists.
Yeah, well, that's where, you know, in Texas, when I was in elementary school, we had to memorize and be able to recite word for word the First Ten Amendments of the Constitution.
Well, I was a kid with Gettysburg Address. First Ten Amendments,
huh? Later on, we had to be able to recite at least the preamble of the Declaration of Independence.
Huh.
And if you go and you see someone who is being naturalized as an American citizen, they have to know the whole thing.
Yeah.
A friend of mine just went through that. He's actually lived here for 22 years, but he just decided to go ahead and get a citizenship this last year because he knew this election was going to be so important and he wanted to vote. And he went through the whole process. He had to know it all. I mean, anybody can get to where they do know it all. Go to a used bookstore and find a some American history books that are at least 40 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I say at least 40 years old because if you look at the stuff that was written then versus the things that are written now, they change things.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, you can, it's good to know all that stuff, but also, in being aware of it now, be working to create something new for the future. Something that hasn't been thought of before.
Yeah, exactly. I know that this whole idea, I remember back in the early 90s, when I was working in Utah. And, supposedly, Mormon people were, supposed to understand how our government works. And these two younger people were getting into an argument about what form of government we had. And, back then, President Bush Sr. and other people are running the word democracy. Well, we're a democracy. We're always talking about democracy. Bull punky. We are a republic, and there's a vast difference. Democracies, the original democracy lasted, about 50 years? The Greek idea. Yeah, it dissolves into chaos. And republics, the first one was Rome, and it lasted about 225 years before broke down into what we've got now with people that were citizen soldiers all of a sudden became fat, dumb, and happy, and they wanted security, and then they were willing to swap their security for their liberty for security. So we've got the situation where, what's next is here comes the dictator, and which is actually what's prophesied. So,
which is what we're in right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're just... and Tommy Franks, after he retired, said, if we get nuked, the plan is to go to put the entire country under martial law, even though it wouldn't be necessary. I mean, parts of this country have been under martial law before, but if Los Angeles gets nuked, why put Missouri under martial law, So,
if the United States is attacked by a foreign power, or if there is great civil unrest or civil war, or if there is an economic crisis, any of those things can put us under martial law.
Yeah. Well, I understand that a state of emergency was declared in this country many years ago, and that we're still under a state of emergency.
Yeah.
So we're not in so-called normal times, the other phrase I don't hear anymore is the old term Fabian, or the Fabian. Well, it's been so long that I haven't heard it.
I can't remember what it was, but it was Fabian. Was it Fabian communism? It was a, you know, this very slow creeping. People used to talk about it all the time back in the 60s and 70s that there was a plan, a long term plan, where they were very, very slowly. And and you know, I don't think I've heard that in at least 15 years. And you know, it seems to be what we've got going. You know, it's what we've got. We basically have a younger generation that hasn't got a clue about how government works or doesn't work. And we now understand in the world we have the majority, for the first time in the world, we have the majority of people that are living in cities. And, you know, the of course, if you look at a county-by-county election map from the last election, I'm sure it'll be in this election, and everybody looks at the state maps and says, oh, well, California, you know, and Washington and Oregon, you know, they all voted for, you know, for Kerry. Well, that's not true. If they look at the county map, they would see that about 95% or maybe even 98% of the counties, because there's thousands of counties in the country, you know, voted for Bush. And that they see that the large urban areas are the ones that vote for the Democratic candidate. And those are the areas where people, you know, they have a vested interest in, you know, welfare programs, and they don't understand how farms work. And so the country is very deeply divided, and that, you know, that's the oldest trick in the book, is divide and conquer. That's how they keep Native Americans conquered to this day, especially the Cherokee Nation. And the Cherokee Nation is deeply divided. It's not even funny.
We're our own worst enemy.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like Pappy Hicks said. By the way, I've talked to Pappy a few times. G6 of the Texas Cherokees, he's had problems with allergies and coughs a lot, but he said when his allergies clear up, we'll get him interviewed on there. But G6's favorite statement is, you know, Indians are their own worst enemies. And, boy, we sure are. It's just some of the nastiest politics I've ever seen. And I don't know, was politics ever not nasty?
Well, I don't know. You've heard my definition of politics before, I believe.
If I did, I don't remember.
When I shared that with you before, poly is Latin for many.
Oh, yeah, many.
It's Anglo-Saxon for blood-sucking vermin.
Yeah.
Well, that politicians don't like to hear that. I had the pleasure of telling that to the tribal council in Tahlequah one time. I got thrown out.
Yeah, they picked you up. Four guys?
Yeah, I did not touch the porch on the way out.
Oh, boy.
It didn't hurt. But,
that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
That was uncalled for.
Well, you know, these Oklahoma Cherokees don't like having a Texas Cherokee going to challenge stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, they took U.S. troops to keep Texas Cherokees away from being enrolled, so... You know, but so where do you think we're going from here? Well, you're talking about, you know, problems in your own group that I was unaware of. So, I was going to say earlier, you know, you talk about security in this country. I heard the rumor, and I believe it to be true, that back about 2001, the word Cherokee was put on that rumored to exist list of words that the NSA listens for, you know, and because everything goes through satellite, which is most telephone, is listened to, and certain keywords are listened to, and you know, you and I are most assuredly listened to right now, But, you know,
I'm going to say they need an education.
Well, yeah, right, you know, and they're not stupid either, just following orders. But, you know, I used to hear that, and most people hear that and go, oh, yeah, sure, that's a rambling of some paranoid lunatic. But, you know, every gathering I went to that summer, and I went to gatherings, two different gatherings in Utah, or excuse me, not Utah, here in Missouri, and there was another gathering in Pennsylvania. And all three of them had black spec ops type helicopters, the current ones. Oh, what are they running nowadays? What do they call those things? The ones with the
Blackhawks.
Yeah, they had Blackhawks show up at them. And the one here in Missouri, well, here in the Ozarks, they have, for some reason, they have military helicopters going around looking for pot, which questionable as far as legal goes, but I guess they're forward looking infrared, and you know, they're able to look at the signature, because pot has a certain color and a certain heat signature, and so does okra. And matter of fact, a few years ago there was an entire crop of okra that was burned up. You know, the helicopter people thought it was pot. They burned up the whole crop. In the newspaper, the feds said that they burned up $6 million worth of marijuana that some farmer was growing. Farmer took them to court, was able to prove that it wasn't marijuana and it was indeed okra. And the judge awarded the farmer $6 million, and the government objected, and I said, well, you know, certainly that crop couldn't have been worth more than $10,000 or $20,000. They said, hey, you guys are the ones that set the value. We got taxes in the newspaper, you know. So here they got military helicopters, you know, patrolling the Ozarks looking for who knows what, supposedly looking for pot. But I know at the one gathering, kids were in the garden area, and they noticed that there was a bunch of red lights, you know, on themselves and down on the ground. They were looking out at the red lights, and they, you know, they looked up the helicopters, and you know, there's these, they're being targeted with machine guns.
Yeah, laser sights.
Yeah, laser sights. Yeah, so, you know, well, the guys with the helicopter, they all got treated to three or four kids, you know, mooning them. And, you know, which was the best weapon they had available at the time, I suppose. But, I mean, this is the kind of just nonsense that goes on in the country. And Sac River and White River Band gathering that I went to over in, I guess it was north of Springfield, you know, they had barely got the thing going, and I guess just after the ceremonial march, you know, here comes three or four Black Hawk helicopters right square over the gathering.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And then another one I heard about in Pennsylvania, a bunch of Chickamaugas up there. So, you know, really makes you wonder. Because, I mean, there was a National Guard base in the area, but they weren't anybody's flight path.
Yeah,
so,
we had a similar problem in Oklahoma about 7 or 8 years ago. The Asa guy don't wear a whole lot when we do rituals, especially if it involves healing and stuff, because in your clothing, you're finished with your energy. And so we were out doing some work with some people, and there were about, I guess, 40-some-odd people there of all ages, from kids up to elders. Nobody had any clothes on. And so these helicopters come flying over, and they're circling around, and you can see people taking pictures and stuff. And so one of the elders said, "Oh, why don't I take care of this?" And she went in to the house and looked up the phone number for the Zero Center and invited their commander and all of them to come out and join us. But, for the purposes of this ritual, you won't be able to wear clothes. And that's why your helicopters are flying over and being interested. So just come join us. Well, evidently she knew something about the commander, because he was a real staunch Bible-thumping Baptist, and he was jumping all over people as far as flying over our area and stuff, and taking pictures, and nobody was going to join us. And so, in the future, even though we weren't there doing rituals and stuff anymore, just the person had got the healing they needed, they were flying way around that area, not even going over it. It's just a matter of finding, you know, what their sensibilities are, and you can turn them off in a hurry. And when it comes to interrogators, I had my primary MOS when I first went to service was as an infantry scout, and I had had an additional skill picked up in counterintelligence, and that's how I got. You got to meet Colonel Siakin and folks like that. But when you're trained to do interrogations, you occasionally meet people who are just, they're really scared. You know? You're not trying to scare them, you're just trying to have a conversation with them, trying to get a little information out of them. It might not be even that they did anything wrong. You know they did not do anything wrong. They just saw something, and you're trying to talk to them about it. And they repeat everything that you say.
Oh my gosh, that's scary.
Yeah, but it works. It drives you crazy. So if someone's interrogating you, then you can say, let's see, okay, your question was, and repeat the question back to them and say, I don't care to say anything about that right now. And they ask another question. Okay, your question was, and I don't care to say anything about that right now. And after a while, you have this interrogator pulling their hair out, or in one case, I don't have any, but you have, you know, they're pulling their hair out and going crazy, and they want this conversation to end real bad. So that's just a little thing, for instance, if people wind up having a conversation with the feds about something that they're involved in, like exercising their right to freedom of religion, like Muslims are doing. Yeah, interesting thing on the Muslims, most of them in this town were born and raised here. They've been Americans all their lives.
Huh. That's really incredible. You know, it is. I don't believe that stuff goes on in this country. I mean, are we that stupid? You know, we don't remember what we did to the Japanese. And, I mean, those
we remember, but the thing is there are a lot of people who are that scared.
Yeah.
Other countries have terrorist attacks almost daily.
Yeah.
you know, Sri Lanka, Ceylon, Israel, Chad, you know. But, you know, it's just part of life for them. We had the Murrah building, you know, done by one of the by some of our own. And then we had the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. And that's all we've ever had. Oh, we had a little stuff here and there, you know, back in the 60s and 70s with, you know, some guy got disgruntled and got up on top of the tower at Texas A&M, Texas University in Austin, and shot a bunch of people.
Oh, it's a mess.
Then there was, you know, we've had, you know, the SDS and the Black Panthers and folks like that. They made some stuff anything. Here and there. And
it's all domestic.
Yeah, but, you know, it was all basically small-time stuff. And then we had these two big things, and voila, the whole nation just scared to death.
Yeah.
Now, there is some precedence for what's going on right now in the suspension of civil liberties, which is what they're counting on people just rolling over and accepting. And the first is that Abraham Lincoln did it during the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
And then the second is that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did it first during the Depression and then again during World War II. And so,
well, what did FDR do? Because I remember Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. What did FDR do?
Well, FDR actually suspended some things as far as people's you know, right to privacy, to their right to you know, to free speech, especially during World War II.
Yeah,
there are lots of things that if you even just hit it at, you were arrested. And you were off to a military prison fast. You know, and they'd get around to a trial one of these days. So, you know, there are things that have happened before where, you know, where this sort of thing has come up. And in every case, there was a, you know, there was a limit to it. Like, even now with the USA Patriot Act, the 16 points that violate the Constitution are supposed to end next year. Now, Mr. Bush is trying to not only get it to be made permanent, he's trying to add to it. And so, a good thing to do on the Inform and Educate bit is for people to inform and educate their representatives and senators that they don't want this. You know, let the stuff that remains with the Patriot Act that doesn't violate the Constitution stand, but get rid of those 16 points.
Well, Ron Paul said that the Patriot Act, I mean, it was, they had about 15 minutes to think about it, and nobody read it. You didn't know it was in it.
Well, not only did they not read it, they had, you know, they had some, it was changed overnight after it left committee.
What
was actually presented was not what the committee approved.
Well, here are things happening, in the, including things like the 1968 Gun Control Act being just the English translation of the 1936 Nazi Gun Control Act.
Yeah.
And I understand being in the youth profession, I was looking at possibly going back into that kind of work, and I realized that some of the literature that's being used in state-run youth homes is simply a translation of the Hitlerjugend, the Hitler Youth propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that? You know, somebody not in the right mind here, or just.
You know, you see, a lot of that sort of stuff is going on here in this country now, and that was one reason that I, for one, was really not wanting John Kerry to get elected, because people
See, Kerry and Bush are part of the same organization. They're part of Skull and Bone Society.
Yep.
And Kerry was presenting a message that if people had gone for it, if enough people had gone for it, then he would have gotten in, and the vast majority of the people who are up in arms about the violations of the Constitution right now would have relaxed. And said, oh, it's going to be okay. And by the time they figured out it wasn't, it was really going to be too late.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to reform a fascist government headed up by an idiot, which is what we have now.
Well,
it's a whole lot easier to reform a fascist government to get it to move back to the point of being a constitutional government than it is to reform the communist government, which is what we were going to have with Kerry.
Yeah, with communism, you got 1,000 dictators, and it should take long to get rid of Saddam.
Huh?
Because everybody's afraid of Saddam.
Yeah.
But in a, you know, in a Soviet-style thing, then you got thousands of these little tyrants, you know. And
yeah.
And they're dug in like Alabama ticks, and it's a little more
difficult. Everybody's ratting on everybody else because they all want to be one of the ticks.
Yeah. interesting system. So I was just watching the Russia. It seems like that poor, beleaguered country. Because it's all they've had from it. Ivan the Terrible. You know, there's just, oh, man. This poor guy, you know, he was, I guess his parents were poisoned. He was raised, you know, by people that were alternately bowed to him and then talked behind his back and showed him no respect. And then, you know, raised by a regent and advisors. Had absolutely no love. And you wonder why the guy grew up to be a paranoid sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really sad. It's really sad, the forms of government that people allow themselves to be. They just, people allow themselves to be governed, you know, by this tyranny and, but, you know.
It's all really sad. But we're all responsible for the choices that we make.
Yeah, well, we deserve the government we get.
That's right.
Okay, so you feel like there's some really good things coming out of Iraq right now. What do you think?
Yeah, basically two things are coming out of it that are actually worthwhile. One is that instead of having to fight terrorists here, I mean, and, you know, I don't think all people in Islam are terrorists by any means. In fact, if you read the Quran, it's unsupported at all.
Yeah.
The extremists, though, that are using Islam as an excuse for that type of activity, for attacking innocent people and so forth, have been wanting to fight what they know as the great Satan forever, which is the United States. And well, they haven't wanted to forever. They've wanted to since 1948 when we supported the creation of the nation of Israel.
Right.
And then, so now all these folks who have been planning on coming here and trying to come here and were actually, obviously, by 9/11 starting to be successful, then eventually we were going to have to fight them here. Now, they're all going over there to Fallujah and places like that. And the vast majority of the Iraqi people, for example, are not fighting us. You know that all of the country, except for places like Fallujah and Najaf and parts of Baghdad, are for many of them, for the first time in their entire existence, they have sanitary water to drink.
Yeah.
Well, we know that most of them have telephones and stuff around that they didn't have before.
Well, you have a sense
that most of the kids are going to school, and for the first time in 30 years, not reading textbooks that do nothing but glorify the achievements of Saddam Hussein.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
Freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
You know, they're getting a real education, in other words. So, you know, there are a lot of good things that are coming out of it besides the, even just the fact that we're fighting, the terrorists there instead of here.
That's
in spite of the fact that we went there for the wrong reason.
Well, yeah, let me read this letter. I don't know if you said this to me or Strongbear did. So this is a letter from Ray Reynolds, a medic in the Iowa Army National Guard serving in Iraq. He says, as I head off to Baghdad for the final weeks of my stay in Iraq, I wanted to say thanks to all of you who did not believe the media. They've done a very poor job of covering everything that's happened. I am sorry that I've not been able to visit to all of you during my 2-week leave back home. And just so you can rest at night knowing something is happening in Iraq that's noteworthy, I thought I'd pass this on to you. This is a list of things that's happened in Iraq recently. Please share with your friends and compare it to the version that your paper is producing. He says over 400,000 kids have up-to-date immunization. School attendance is up 80% from levels before the war. Over 1,500 schools have been renovated and rid of the weapons stored there so education can occur. The port of Qusar was renovated so grain can be offloaded from ships faster. The country had its first 2 billion barrel export of oil in August. Over 4.5 million people have clean drinking water for the first time ever in Iraq. The country now receives 2 times the electrical power it did before the war. 100% of the hospitals are open and fully staffed compared to 35% before the war. Elections are taking place in every major city and city councils are in place. Sewer and water lines are installed in every major city. Over 60,000 police are patrolling the streets. Over 100,000 Iraqi civil defense police are securing the country. Over 80,000 Iraqi soldiers are patrolling the streets side by side with U.S. soldiers. Over 400,000 people have telephones for the first time ever. Students are taught field sanitation and hand washing techniques to prevent the spread of germs. An interim constitution has been signed. Girls are allowed to attend school. Textbooks that don't mention Saddam are in the school for the first time in 30 years. Don't believe for one second that these people do not want us here. I have met many, many people from Iraq that want us here and in a bad way. They say they will never see the freedoms we talk about, but they hope their children will. We're doing a good job in Iraq, and I challenge anyone anywhere to dispute me on these facts. If you're like me and are very disgusted with how this period of rebuilding has been portrayed, email this to a friend and let them know good things are happening. Ray Reynolds, Sergeant First Class, Iowa Army National Guard, 234th Signal Battalion.
Yeah, my little brother is over there, and a friend of mine is over there. And my friend is a contract officer of the CIA. And, you know, my little brother's in a dangerous area. He's on the Syrian border. And he's S4 for an artillery brigade, so he's carrying stuff all over the place. But, you know, my friend there is actually in a really, really nice area as far as people are concerned and stuff like that. And he says it's safer there than it is running around the United States.
Oh, yeah, imagine.
My brother's got a friend, he's a truck driver over there, and he says, man, it's heaven, you know, people love you everywhere you go.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is nothing new as far as American media is concerned. I mean, in Israel, they will, you know, and my mother actually documented this. She was a missionary over there for years. And she would follow their news crews, and they would go over into the Palestinian areas, and they would pay some kids to throw rocks. And what, you know, and kids, you know, you can give them $5 and throw rocks and nothing. They're the happiest kids in the world. Well, they'd put some tires out, they'd sprinkle gasoline over them and light them up, and then take pictures of the kids throwing rocks over the fire. And then when the Israeli army came to see what was going on, and Hamas and PLO and some scared parents came to see what was going on, then, you know, someone eventually would shoot at the soldiers. So the soldiers would then, you know, fire back and usually kill whoever it was shot at. And they would get the weapon away from them and stuff, because you don't leave a weapon laying around in a crowd where people want to shoot you. You know, especially when you just shot one of their own.
Yeah.
So you remove the weapon. Then they would take pictures of the Israeli soldiers standing over the body of this person who was supposedly just throwing rocks before.
Yeah.
And she went around and documented this and put it on a Christian television station and talked about it. And, you know, they kind of stopped that for a while. You don't see too much stuff on the news anymore with Palestinians throwing rocks and the Israelis shooting at them.
Yeah.
Because they were just embarrassed as hell. Well, it's the same thing now. They haven't changed it. It's all about ratings. It's not about truth.
Yeah. And that's something. Well, sounds like you're on the, I guess, well, I'm getting a little back. So I guess we're going to have to go. My son was using the phone quite a bit today. So I apologize to folks, and so I guess the creators decided this is the time we're going to have to end the interview. Anyway, I sure appreciate you. I know you've, when you're, you have the background that you do, you've been a lot of places, and you've seen a lot of things, and you're able to bring sort of focus and help people understand what's going on, because, you know, you've been there, you got the t-shirt, so we really appreciate you being on again. You know, and some people might be upset because they're talking about politics, but people need to understand that in a native way, civil leaders are spiritual leaders also. I mean, that's part of the great.
Well, here's the thing that people need to understand. It doesn't really matter all that much what happens nationally. It matters what they do locally.
That's right. That's right.
That's where it really affects you.
Get involved in the local politics, folks.
Yeah.
And well, we sure appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. You bet. And folks, we'll be talking to you next weekend. I hope.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandim has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandim reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandim reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing NRF2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%, that's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists. putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by three U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put them on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the two-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
The rainbow, look inside the heart. Thank you.